case for? And that is 093563, United States versus Jordan. Coopersmith.
Yes, Your Honor. Good morning. I'm Michael Coopersmith from the University of Chicago Law School's Mandel Legal Aid Clinic, appearing under the supervision of Allison Siegler and appearing on behalf of appellant Kelvin Jordan. First, Mr. Jordan is eligible for a sentence reduction under 3582. His sentence was based on the sentencing range calculated under the drug guideline that has subsequently been reduced by the Sentencing Commission. We recognize that this court has ruled otherwise, and we respectfully request that this court take this opportunity to reconsider that ruling. Second, when the sentencing court recalculates Mr. Jordan's sentence, the court is required by 3582 to consider any applicable 3553A factors in determining the extent of the reduction. This statutory command is binding on the sentencing court and trumps any advisory guideline that conflicts with it.
But when the defendant is a career offender, isn't the range specified by the career offender guideline the one that's applicable?
Yes, Your Honor. That the career offender enhancement determines the ultimate sentencing range. However, Guideline 1B1.1, which lays out the process that the sentencing court must go through to determine the guideline range, that is the first step that the district court must go to.
It has to do that. Go ahead, sorry.
And when going through 1B1.1, before we even get to the Chapter 4 career offender enhancements and any other applicable enhancements, we see that the first step is to determine the applicable offense guideline from Chapter 2. In this case, that was 4D1.1. And so
2D1.1. But
oh, excuse me, 2D1.1.
What was the quantity of the relevant conduct here?
In the relevant conduct, there was between 50 grams and 150 grams in this case. And so when we go through the 1B1.1 process, we initially calculate the base offense level. And only after that step do we get to Chapter 4 criminal history enhancements, such as the career offender enhancement in this case. Now, because the lower sentencing range produced by the drug guideline was invoked at one point during this calculation process, Mr. Jordan's ultimate term of imprisonment was in part based on this lower sentencing range, and he is therefore eligible under a reduction, for a reduction under the language of 3582.
So that's the issue that's currently before the Supreme Court in Dillon?
That issue could come up in the Dillon case. However, the Dillon case deals more with the second part of the argument, which is whether the district court can give a reduction beyond the two-level reduction, Your Honor.
Mr. Coopersmith, the statutory maximum that Mr. Jordan was facing was 20 years?
That's correct.
And so that's why the district court used 32 as the initial base offense level, correct?
Yes, Your Honor. That's my understanding.
Now, suppose that he had been convicted of a much smaller quantity, so that the relevant sentencing guidelines would have been way below where the career offender guideline put him. The career offender guideline just trumps completely, right? It doesn't matter how much he was being held responsible for in terms of relevant conduct, does it?
The career offender guideline does trump in the sense that that is the ultimate sentencing range that the judge must consider. However, in setting pre-Booker, of course, setting where the judge decides to set the sentence within that range, the judge can consider the base offense, the guideline range determined by the base offense level. In this case, the judge decided to give Mr. Jordan, a career offender, a sentence at the lowest end of the range. And so it is possible that the judge was considering the base offense level range in determining to give Mr. Jordan a sentence at the low end of that range.
Is there any way, if we sent this back, that the judge could give him a higher sentence?
No, Your Honor. 3582 only permits the sentence to be reduced in this case, and so the judge could not impose a higher sentence. And so the Hedgebeth case provides a useful analog as to why the guidelines decisions can be based in part on other guidelines besides the ultimate guideline range that is determined. In Hedgebeth, the government argued that the guideline amendment did not lower the defendant's ultimate guideline range because the range was trumped by a 60-month mandatory minimum. Now, we recognize that Hedgebeth did not have to do with the career offender enhancement, but it is still a useful analogy for this point because the judge nonetheless looked beneath the mandatory minimum and decided that the initial sentence he had imposed was based in part on a sentencing range that had been lowered by the amendment because the amendment lowered the underlying range by the two levels of Amendment 706. Similarly here, the district judge should be able to look beneath the career offender guideline and decide that the initial sentence was based in part on the drug guideline, making Mr. Dorden eligible for a reduction. Now, 3582 also has a second condition that must be met in order for a reduction to be authorized. That is, the reduction must be consistent with the applicable policy statements.
Can I go back for a second on your discussion of Hedgebeth? I thought Hedgebeth, that was a 5K1 downward departure, right?
That is correct.
So why isn't that simply explained, not as you wish to, but as following the application note that says, in essence, if you got a below-guideline sentence the first time, you can get it, the court can consider whether to reduce it further?
Well, Your Honor, post-Booker, the application notes, just like the rest of the guidelines, are purely advisory. However, the 5K1.1...
Well, we haven't treated all this 3582C business as purely advisory.
That is correct, Your Honor. That is what we are arguing for today. Mm-hmm. And so the second condition is that the reduction must be consistent with applicable policy statements. Now, the particular policy statement at issue here is Section 1B1.10. And specifically, subsection A2B of this policy statement authorizes reductions if the amendment has the effect of lowering the applicable guidelines range. Now, in this case, the applicable guideline range, the government would like us to think that it is purely the guideline range determined by the career offender guideline.
Well, they would like us to think that because isn't that what the court has held in multiple cases?
The court has held that, Your Honor. However, if we look to the Supreme Court's precedent, that is not the way that the Supreme Court refers to the applicable guideline range. If we look at the Witte case in particular, the Supreme Court indicated that the applicable guideline range includes the original offense level before subsequent enhancements are applied. Moreover, if we look at the guidelines language themselves, if we look particularly at 1B1.2B, which goes through that determines the base offense level, that's the instructions for determining the base offense level, we see that the language applicable guideline range there is used to indicate the Chapter 2 offense guideline, then the applying of... Yes, Your Honor, I'll wrap up right here. Thank you. The applying the specific offense characteristics and applying the Chapter 3 adjustments.
Just remind me, was Witte a career offender case?
Witte was not a career offender case. If I may reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Very much. Thank you. Mr. DeWalt.
May I please the court, Ronald DeWalt on behalf of the United States. Your Honor, this court has previously held that Amendment 706 does not apply to a defendant who is sentenced under the career offender guidelines.
We can always change our minds, can't we?
But with the...
You're not going to help us do that, are you?
No, I'm not. And yes, this court could. However, the reasoning that put forth in Foreman back just early last year was sound and correct. The defendant has offered no other meritorious reason to go back and reconsider that holding. The defendant in this case was a career offender that the amended guidelines of 2D1.1 has no bearing on the instant offense on that particular case, and therefore he's not entitled to a sentencing reduction under 18 U.S.C. 3582.
How much was Mr. Dorden charged with distributing?
He was charged with four separate substantive counts. The one, the offense of conviction was 1.7 grams of crack cocaine. He was also charged in three separate counts of various different amounts of crack cocaine for a total of about 86 grams of crack cocaine.
Okay. It's been a while since I've seen a 1.7-gram transaction in federal court.
Well, that's correct, but he had a significant background. Mm-hmm. The count four charged just shy of 50 grams of crack cocaine. So when you considered it as a whole, that this was a worthy federal case. Mm-hmm. The defendant also is not entitled to a resentencing hearing. As you pointed out, the issue of whether or not a defendant who is otherwise eligible for a sentence reduction under 3582 entitles him to a full resentencing hearing is currently pending before the United States Supreme Court. But that's not the case here. The defendant is not eligible because he's a career offender, and therefore we don't even get to the matter of whether or not he's deserving of a full resentencing hearing, regardless of how the United States Supreme Court decides Dillon. We ask that this court affirm the court's denial of the motion to reduce his sentence.
Is he giving you secret messages to sit down?
So you made your point.
Have you made all your points?
Yes, Your Honor.
Make a few others.
Thank you.
You're done, you're done.
Thank you, Your Honors. It should be noted that Foreman, the opinion in Foreman, did not address either Witte or the guidelines' own definition of applicable guideline range. And so when it held that the amendment does not lower a career offender's guideline range, and so if this court decides to reconsider Foreman today, that would be an appropriate basis for doing so. On the point about whether Mr. Dorton is entitled to a resentencing hearing, Mr. Dorton is not only eligible for the two-level reduction from Amendment 706, but he is also eligible for a full resentencing in which the judge considers all of the 3553A factors.
Didn't he get a three-level reduction for acceptance of responsibility?
Yes, Your Honor. He did receive a three-level reduction for his acceptance of responsibility in this case. However, the judge in this case, if a resentencing hearing is permitted, the judge could go even further below the guideline range now that Booker is in effect. And we know this because of the statutory language of 3582 and because of the application of Booker. Sentences that are applied now post-Booker with the change in law must comply with Booker. And so for all the foregoing reasons, we respectfully request that this court hold that the district court is authorized to reduce Mr. Dorton's sentence under 3582, and if it does so, it must consider any 3553A factors in determining whether to go below the two-level reduction. Thank you, Your Honors.
Well, Mr. Coversmith, on behalf of the court, we want to thank you for your really fine presentation and for taking for the Mandel Legal Clinic and Ms. Siegler taking on this responsibility, and you're going to be a terrific lawyer.
Thank you, Your Honors. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. And as always, thanks to the U.S. Attorney's Office for its fine job. And the case will be taken under advisement. Thank you.